Father, we welcome you in and have your way with us and talk to us now as we open, and we want to hear you and your voice and your word and just welcome you in. Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a great privilege for me this morning to be here and to share what I believe God wants to share with us this morning as a congregation. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Sean. It's such a great privilege. Just want to take a moment to say thank you to Alistair and Esther. They're the head pastors of this community, and just want to thank them for the opportunity that they've given me today. Yeah, and they're really, really great friends and really great leaders. So I just want to honor them in their absence down at Convergence. That's where they are. So thanks to them for that. Then everyone calls her Tani Frida. I get the privilege to call her Ma or Frikkie. So happy birthday, Mom. I love you. You're clearly not just a mom to me. You've got a lot of kids here, and there's still a lot more to come in the Spirit. So we love you, and God bless you, and may you have another 21 years, eh? You're 21 now. 21 and never been kissed. Okay. Good. Thanks to the band, Tiens, Melissa, Lucy, Benny. Wow, guys. Thanks a lot. Thank you for being so obedient and just ushering God's presence in. And what a privilege. What a privilege to be here today and to know that there's a God and to know that He's real. And that is something that we mustn't forget. So, as a good South African man, I enjoy my braai and my rugby, and praise God that the Springboks won last night. So, yeah, 1.8 on the log. If you need any stats, William Clift is a stats machine on Ask, so you can go ask him anytime. So, in the DVD store the other day, again, being South African, I walk past all these DVDs, and you sort of have to watch what you look at these days. So, there's this Glory game. And I'm a sucker for drama and, you know, all these deep things. My wife brings me back to normality a lot of times. She says, you know, you're getting way too deep now. Just get back to being simple and, you know. And so he has this Glory game of yours. And I haven't really followed him as much. And so I take out the DVD. She's out with some friends. And here I am watching U.S. Van der Westhuizen's Glory game. My mom's got the kids, so it's awesome. You know, I'm having a bit of alone time. I'm recharging the batteries, and life's ticking a lot of the physical boxes. And here is the play out of somebody that I didn't really know was potentially, based on what was said, the best player in his position of all time. Oh, geez, that's pretty impressive. And they went through a lot of the highlights of his career. And in the moments, he was in the flesh, this strong icon. They compared him to a demigod on earth. And when you saw this on the rugby field, you sort of just saw this godly talent in him. And some of his opponents that were interviewed, from the George Gregans and the Justin Marshalls of the world, said when they played against Uist, they didn't play rugby. It was actually the England scrum off. I can't remember his name. He says, because for weeks and weeks before playing against Uist, he would just watch videos to try and anticipate what is Uist going to do on the field. So he would go and play, not to play his game, but just to try and keep Uist in a box. And I thought, geez, that's pretty immaculate talent to have other people say this about you. And the very next moment, here's this guy in a wheelchair, slurred speech, can't talk. And he's traveling across the world trying to find a cure for this. I think it's NMS or AMS, the doctors can help me. Neuromotron disease now. And They're going through the highlights of his life. I mean, he was on the pinnacle of the world circuit. He then married, obviously we know, Amor, and he's now in England, and an English radio commentator is busy interviewing him and saying, "Gee, Joost, you know, I'm not going to try and do an accent. I'm not good at that." Says to him, "Joost, do you ever ask yourself why? Why me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong?" And you could see, and there's three things I want to share about the DVD that just stood out for me, and that ties in hopefully with what I believe God really wants to say to us here today. And he says in his slurred speech again, something I'm not going to enact. He says, "I did in the beginning ask, why me? Why did this happen to me?" And then he comes out and he says, "But then I asked a different question. Why not me? What makes me so special?" And that amazing change in humility of this guy that was on top of the world shifted the focus. And he said, "But let's look at this thing from a different side." Everybody would say, why me? What did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? I mean, you know, well, he wasn't such a great guy. He had one or two of his things that leaked out. But why me? And he says, "But hold on a second. Let's come over to the other side. Let's look at it from this side. Why not me? What exempts me?" He then goes on and he says a lot of things. And I think what was the saddest for me in all of this, it really touched me and God really ministered to me, which just shows that he can use anything. Not once was God's name mentioned. Not once did he acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And you know, all of this great life that he's accomplished, if that doesn't happen, you know, will be in my eyes and in our eyes a waste, because there'll be no eternity. However, the humility that I saw in him was godly. And he then goes on and he says, the two things people take for granted the most every day of their lives is health and time. And I thought, gee, that is so true. Take for granted having great health. Take for granted having time. Having time with family. Having time with my wife. Having time with friends. Having time. And it then got me thinking about, but what else am I taking for granted? What else is there that I'm looking at this? Yeah, but what else is there that maybe I'm not utilizing? And obviously the thing that jumps up is, am I taking God for granted? Am I taking my walk with Him for granted? Am I taking this great commission for granted? Am I taking the time for granted? Am I so wrapped up in the comforts of this world? Is that my pursuit? I managed to read a book when we were on our annual leave this year. And I don't, again, advocate the author, but it was just by chance. My cousin had the book and he said, "Yeah, read it." And we were doing trail running, and it was in the moment as a guy called Dean Karnassus, the ultra marathon man. And like I'm saying, his values aren't our values, but I managed to read through it and I had the time, and it was the only book I had. And besides, obviously, yeah. Anyway, so I'm reading this book, and here's this guy that does ridiculous things with his physical body. Let me run through a few of them. He would run, jog through the night, day one. He would start Friday. He works an 8-to-5 job. So he would start on the afternoon, 5 o'clock, Friday afternoon after work, put on his tackies. Family's in the camper van, and off their pickle. And he would run through Friday night, through Saturday night, through Sunday. And Sunday night, his wife and them would pick him up. They drive back home. Monday morning, 8 o'clock, the clock's in at work. He would run through the night without sleep. Run 300 kilometers. Just run. And he shares the story about how he started, and he just had this desire, and he was about to cheat on his wife, and he just had this desire to go running. And in his inebriated state, one night in his underwear, he put on tackies or sneakers, and he just started running. He just ran 50 kilometers, and he's talking about how he just just had this, he wanted to push the boundaries. He wanted to see how far he could go. And then he does even more crazy things. He goes and runs 100 miles up in the mountains. But I mean, you must see it. It borders on insanity. And there are actually times when he had to go, people actually forced him to go to say, but you're psychotic. What are you doing? Why are you doing these things? His latest feat was he did 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 states. So 50 consecutive days, every day he'd wake up and he'd run 42 kilometers. Then he'd travel to the next state, run 42 kilometers, run 50 days in a row. Do the math. That's what, 2,000 kilometers in a month and a half on your feet. What am I getting at with this? And with Dina, I'm not advocating his life, and I'm not saying let's make this a work of flesh and go every day and go through the night, but he says something there that again impacted me in a way that it said, today's society pursues comfort. And by that pursuit, we become unhappy. Become unhappy. And reading it in the Bible, again, preparing for tonight, or this morning at least, there's so much more happiness in suffering. And hear that in context. I'm not saying we must be paupers and struggle. It's the difference between struggling and suffering. A light burden, easy yoke. Suffering, it's a burden, it's a yoke. And I just wonder how many times we pursue comfort. If I can just get that degree, that comfort. If I can just get a wife, if I can just get my kids past age 2. If I can just step into that next level of comfort, if I can just get the second car, if I can just get a nice car, if I can just get aircon, if I can just buy a house, then God, ek gaan kolle gooi. Really? Really? If I can just get that promotion. If I can. And I sometimes ask myself, Sean, if you had to change roles, you know, if one of my staff had to come to me and say, you know, I'm going to do that, which is what we need to do, but let me just quickly just run off here and go do this. Say, no, pal. Here's what you're called to do. Stick to the basics. And by doing that, you will be happy. And let's bring that into scripture. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Nice scripture, we all know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But what do we want to do? We first want to seek the things, because we think if we can seek the things, then we can get God. Then we can get to God. Because now I've got the car to get to church. I've got the wife, so I don't need to get distracted anymore. I've got the family. I've got the career. I can now tithe and offer and give big money. So, but those things just sway us away. Just sways us away. It sort of reminds me of a carnal joke, so humor me. This guy goes up to heaven, gets greeted. On the way there though, one of the saints, they're sort of going past the levels, and there's this party going on. I mean, it's looking great. Everyone just looks relaxed, and there's music, and it's happy, and everyone's excited, and life's just, they finally arrived. And he says, what's that? And he says, no, well, that's hell. That's hell. I'm so psyched to see heaven. Boops, get up to heaven, and it's awesome, but it's not that. And month in, he says, well, let me give it time, month 2, and please, it's not blasphemous. Those of you that don't want to take offense, don't get offended. Okay? I haven't been to heaven. I haven't seen it. This is just a joke. And he says to the saint, listen, this is awesome, but that looks better. I'd rather go there. He says, are you sure, Bill? He says, yes. Whoops. Poof. And there he goes. Gets there. It's nothing like you saw. It is hell. Literally. And he shouts out for the saint. He says, hey, pal, what's going on? This isn't what was promised. He says, oh, no. That was their marketing department. And is it comfort? Isn't comfort the world's marketing department? I just want to be comfortable. Just want to be comfortable. Sway us away into what is hell. You know, now I'm reading this book of Dean, and I'm asking myself, okay, this is great, but I don't want to get sidetracked now. Tomorrow now I want to go all out runner. So where's God in all of this, and how do I bring this into what I believe is important and central, and I sort of get challenged to say, but now this is my pinnacle of endurance. This guy has just pushed the limits on so many levels. And I think, but hold on a second. Christ should be my pinnacle for everything. So, but now, you know, God was in my sometimes picture that you've got, you know, meek and mild, walking around his robe. Obviously, the picture has changed over the years. And God just prompts me and he says, what about the cross? What about that endurance? So, what do you mean? He says, let's take it step by step. Gets chained. Gets beaten. Let's not get too practical today. But if someone had to punch me in the face now, it would be painful. If someone had to tie me to a tree and whip me again and again and again and again. And then take those big white thorns and shove them into my head. What endurance would I have to show? Physical endurance in order to pursue, to endure that. Not pass out and say, enough, enough. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm finished. Leave me. And then to be put through all those crowds, which obviously he was so far beyond, but shouting at him, humiliating him, spitting on him. And these are just snippets. Take time and go read it. And think if that was you. Think if that was what you had to endure physically. We're not out there pie in the sky, airy-fairy, spiritual realm now. I'm talking physical body. Carry this cross. Wood. Chuck it on your back. Carry it. Any theologians in the house? Haynes might be able to help us. How far do they have to carry the cross? Doesn't matter. Then imagine they put you on that wood and chuck nails through your hands, through your feet. Stab you on your side. But here we are. Just want to be comfortable. Just don't rattle my cage, Bill. I want to be comfortable. I want the life. I want the tick box. Really? You can have it. Can share a small testimony on that. You know, I got saved 4th of May 2004, and I pursued the life. Thought it was Christ. I really met Christ, and he just changed me from the inside out. But I lost my way. And I got tangled up in the things of this world. And I can share actual figures with you because they're negatives, not positives. It ended up at a place where I had a business that was 8 million rand in debt. Was losing 100,000 rand a month. Sheriff came and sold all our properties, took all our cars, literally saw my whole house right out on the back of a trailer. I was left with beds and my daughter's cot. At the time, my wife was 7 months pregnant with our second child. So this is a while ago. by miracle, we got a flat somewhere. We could just go and stay. But it was the quickest move ever. Just two beds and a cot. It was one move. And yeah, we moved. No fridge. No washing machine. Dishwasher was, no go. By that time, a lot of friends and family had already invested. So now I'm game over. Got to tell everybody, you've lost your money. Sorry, so sad, your dad. All that guilt and condemnation. But never mind that, I've got a reality. I've got 2 months to go. I've got a boy that's coming. Sheriff wants to repossess the last car that was in my wife's name. Got no fridge. Now it's summer. So you can't buy milk today. Tomorrow it's frot. It's hot. So for 2 months, sitting in this house, you remember very well. No furniture. Can't go sit on the couch and read your Bible, watch TV. No, you sit on the floor. Can't buy groceries because tomorrow your lettuce is verlet. And in that time, and we're moving on to circumstances in life, in that time, we've all had our tough times. I wasn't anchored in God, and He wasn't my first love, and it wasn't about building His kingdom. It was about building mine. It was about seeing what I could acquire. How great could I be? How could the King of Kings serve me and my purpose? All with good intentions. Yes, to build the kingdom eventually. I want to make a lot of money so I can build the kingdom. God's not into that. Can't be. And in that time, men, I presume, more than women, sometimes I'm sure we've all had tough times. But you get to a place where you feel like, geez, maybe I'm not all that. Maybe. You feel weak. Feel insecure. Which was new for me. I was actually still a child. My way of thinking. And got so bad that whilst being born again and having met the Savior of the world, the one who holds the keys of life and death in His hands, the one who went down into the pit of hell and freed David and Abraham, said, come out. Whilst knowing that person, I get so weakened in my mind and in my heart because there's no substance, there's no purpose, there's no focus. I go to my amazing wife. I say to her the following. True story, eh? True story. Say to her, I think it's time that you move on. She says, what do you mean? Can't provide for you. Can't look after you. Our kid at that stage was probably going to be born in States Hospital, which is nothing wrong with, but it was a step down for us, and it was humiliating in our supposed sphere. Had nothing. Had no prospects, no hope. I said to her, it's the worst day of my life that I'm saying this, but I'm telling you, move on. Find somebody who can look after you financially. It'll be horrible for me to drive past and see my wife with my kids in another man's house. But it'll be better for you. And thank God that I had a godly wife that did know God. And she says, no, it's not how we roll. Not our God roles. I'm with you. I'm with you. What am I getting at? Is. If we, and I'm talking about myself, and the question I ask myself, if I so at that time feeling in my own natural ability, so weak and pathetic and useless, and I made a lot of mistakes, couldn't understand why the Savior of the universe, why the King of Kings would take the time to leave His throne for me. Didn't make sense. I couldn't accept it because I was so full of guilt and shame and condemnation and embarrassment. And driving home the other night, drove past a poster with an arrow, and you can see it's hand printed, small. It says there, our King is coming. Really? Our King is coming. Our King is real. Did die on the cross for us. We know He walked on earth. And if you read Mark 13 and Matthew 24, Jesus is coming back. Doesn't matter. Tomorrow, next year, 1,000 years. But we've got a responsibility. Yeah. Now, to play our part. There will be tough times. Circumstances will overwhelm you, especially when your values aren't lined up. Hebrews 12:2 says, in this world, not maybe, ifs, maybe, you will have trial and tribulation, so toughen up, buttercup. It's gonna be tough. But then He says, but be of good cheer. I, your King, your leader, your role model, your Savior, I've overcome this world. But we let circumstances just overwhelm us because we've lost focus of why we're here. What are we here to do? Because now circumstances are that high. But the moment we get into a place where we realize, but stop the bus. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God willing, never happens. If I lose my leg, doesn't matter. My wife dies, doesn't matter. Will it be painful? More than I can ever imagine. It's outside of my frame of reference. I'm talking about something I don't understand. However, in spite of that, shouldn't matter. Yes, I should traumatize and it should be painful, but shouldn't matter. In this world, you will have trial and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Okay. Well, great, God. So what now? What is my responsibility? You've died for me on the cross. You've given us this great life. And that great life meaning not how convenient we can be. You've given us knowledge of You. You've given us relationship with You. You've ignited our spirits. We know something no one else knows now, or few others know. Now what now? What now? What is our responsibility? What is our responsibility? We need to get ready for our King. Our King. Our King, our leader, our Savior, our Master, that I still don't understand, leaves His throne and calls us friend. We need to prepare the way. But now you're making me uncomfortable because I can't go and evangelize. I can't talk to strangers. I don't think that's necessarily, and that's maybe again the marketing department, maybe, giving us the wrong ideas. You have got something. You do know someone. You have got something that you can give the King of Kings. We so sometimes look for the home run, the big thing, the big bang, the miracle, and God's saying, but use the little that you've got daily. But that's uncomfortable. Because I want the big thing. I want the nice thing. I want it to feel good. God's saying daily, daily, get into that net and smack. Practice. 100 balls. 1,000 balls. 2,000 balls. Every day. Blisters. I'm sore. I don't want to. get back in. Next day. One, two, three. Surely we should build lives like that. Use what we've got. If we understand that we're not here for ourselves. And a practical example of this is a king in the old days, and thanks to Hollywood, they're always fighting for territory, land. That was what the big fight was about. I want property. That was the big fight. And the question and the challenge I'd like to put to us today is, our land is people. God says, yes, you were fishermen. You'll be fishers of men. So God's just challenging the thought of, what do you think my territory is? What do you think I want to achieve? Why did I go through all of that? Why did I save you? Yes, because I love you. And I want you to experience what I experienced. And it brings me back to the endurance. Jesus enduring the cross. I'm asking myself, how in heaven's name do you endure something like that? How do you even, in your physical capacity, I can't fathom it. But then it goes and it says, makes a bit of sense to me. It says, and if you read it, and it's all over, there's this one thing I do. Not a million things. One thing I do. For the joy set before me. For my Father. One thing that kept him going. Kept him so focused. Kept his spirit alive while his body was breaking. There's one thing I do. The will of my Father. I do the will of my Father. I've got this one purpose. When he fasts, devil tempts him. Think about this again. I don't know how many of you have fasted more than 5 days. For me, 3 days is tough. 3 days is, I break my. 40 days, no food. 40 days. Some of you have done that in this room, great. Awesome. That for me mentally is a stretch, and you read it and it says, I have a different food. My food is to do the will of my Father, to finish his work. How else can you endure such physical suffering if you're not sold out? If you're not sold out to why you are here? The one thing I do. Not the million things. All else will be added unto you. Seek ye first. Do the one thing. Seek me. Pursue me. Love me. And how easy should that be? King of Kings is here for us. But I wonder how many times we swap it around. So, I hop on the throne. Okay, Jesus, you're there as well. Okay, but I now need a new car. So, Father, please, you know, help me out of this situation. But in our minds, what are we doing? We want him to leave his throne and now come and serve me. However, if I am going to the King of Kings and I'm saying, here I am. I'm so vulnerable. I'm so exposed. I'm so hurt. I'm so weak. However, nonetheless, your will be done, not mine. Now what happens? My circumstances become irrelevant. They don't matter. They become dwarfed. The things of this world grow strangely dim when I understand I've got a king. King of the world who heals the sick, who makes blind people see, who makes limbs grow back, who defeated Satan, who went down into the pit of hell. That's my king. I've got access to him. Now I've bought in. I see that there's something else here for me. It's not about what I can get and how comfortable I can be. And please, I'm not against having nice things. Great, go for it. Provided your value system is in line. Those things don't matter. I'm here for one thing. Bring glory to my Father. How do I do that? Take ground for him. Expand his territory. And I want to challenge you guys. Myself included. And this is something that I'm really challenged on. Is I wonder if we realize there's a war going on right now as we sit here. There's a war going on. Use any reference you want. Whatever movie you like, visualize it. There's a physical war going on right now. Have you enrolled? Have you got your tattoo on your heart? Or are we so tired in comfort? Are we taking for granted the time and health that we've got? Do we understand the urgency? Do we understand our King is alive? He's here. He's calling us. He's real. It's a fight out there. Does it mean everybody must take up a sword? No. There needs to be the mothers, the nurturers, the trainers, the equippers, the nurses who heal the wounded. The trainers. Use what you've got. Play your part. I'm talking to myself. Is how God's challenging me. I don't have this under the belt, very far from it. And do we realize that our King is losing territory, people's hearts? Because we just want to get through the day. We just, circumstances are tough now. You know, yeah, there's a lot going on in my life, and God will understand, and He will understand. If I look how long He was patient with me, you know, it took me 12 years from getting saved to getting to a place where I gave Him ownership of my life. 12 years. Clearly very slow. Thank you for being patient with me, Angel. 12 years. But He was patient. He was there. He never left. Till that I said, I can't do this life. Yeah. Here's my throne. Here's my crown. Take it. And lo and behold, a month later, if I don't watch it and I don't apply that every day, I'm back to square one. Every single day, it's about a decision to say, here I am, King. I'm enrolling in the army. Here is my life. Take ownership. Lead me. Guide me. Why? I can't express to the extent that I would like to say, our King is coming back. Our King is coming back. He's coming back. He's alive. He's real. What are we doing with that? Please, oh please, no condemnation, no guilt, no, vandaag was ik weer useless. No. I didn't do the 55 checklist things today. Not at all. It's not about that. It's not about, I'm so useless, I didn't do this and this and this and this. No. It's about seeing the Father. When you see the Father, starts making sense. When you pursue God, things happen. You get convicted. It's not these acts, these works, you go in and do all these physical things. It's about pursuing the King and getting into line with what He wants to do. So many times we want to bring God into what we are doing. God's saying, but I've got patience with you. And that's okay. But there's something more out there. There's a higher calling. And that is the time in my own life I can testify when Christianity makes sense and I've got fire and I've got passion, because now it's not about me. So circumstances come and go, and as tough as they are, they splash against me. The moment that my circumstances are overwhelming me, I know I've lost sight of why I'm here. What I want to leave with all of us is, do we know that there's a war going on? Think about that for a moment. You know that there's a war right now. Do we know our King is real and alive? Do we know that we don't have open ended time on this earth? Are we sold out? Have we seen this loving Savior? Do we know Him? Share our lives with Him? We submit to what He wants. I know in my life, I'm just challenged. Because if I did, and I think it's a process, I don't think it's a once-off event. I think it's a process of getting to know Him, understanding Him. But I think as a body, we would do everything a little bit more differently. We'd eat differently. We'd love differently. We'd hug differently. We'd smile differently. We'd walk differently. We'd talk differently. We'd read our Bibles differently. We'd pray differently. We'd exercise differently. We'll learn differently. We'll study our Bibles differently. Because there's this one thing we do. This one thing that we are sold out to. This one thing. Not a million things. It's not about what Jesus has done. He has done it. It's about what do we do with that? Is He here to serve us? Or are we here to serve Him? And if anything, may you just be encouraged. Not condemned. May you be motivated. And in it all, what does God say to Joshua? Joshua 1 says, be strong and of good courage. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I've given unto you. Read the word. Do not sway from it to the left or to the right. Meditate in it day and in the night. Then you will be successful. Then you will make your way prosperous. Obviously, your definition of success is up to you. And then he says, have I not commanded you, not asked you, commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. For I, the Lord your God, is with you. I'm with you. But when is He not with you? When we lose focus. When we don't understand what we're busy with. Now life becomes important. Stuff become important. Family become important. And please, oh please, family is important. But in light of what we are busy with, in light of who we are sold out to, in light of that, those things become very minor, very small, very unimportant. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Is it not that you will have trial and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I am with you. Not our will, but your will be done, Father. Do we realize that there's a war going on? Do we realize our King is coming? Do we realize we need to take ground? We are losing territory in certain places that we are supposed to be exercising influence. These are things that I wonder, and each one's journey is different, and I'm sure each of you got a lot of stories to tell. And don't know my circumstances. You don't know how difficult it is. You don't understand where I've come from. You don't understand how I was abused, molested, and I don't. Thank God. Because He knew I might not have been able to handle that. However, He says, my grace is sufficient, irrespective. I should have been able to. So I don't know your circumstances. He knows. He can fix it. He can heal you. He can give you a strategy. And then what are you going to do with it? Yes, there's a time when you come to Him like a mother nurtures a baby. Maybe you're in the baby stage. Enjoy it. It's such a special time. Such a special time to be a baby in His kingdom. It was such a special time for me. But as you grow up, where are you? Are you at a place now where you're eating meat? Are you at a place where you're supposed to be a warrior in His army, in whatever area that is? Maybe it is out physically fighting. Maybe it's in training the kids. Maybe it's in healing the wounded that have come back from battle. Maybe it's in protecting, being a watchman. We place such limits on ourselves, and ultimately then we limit God. I'm going to leave those questions with you guys and trust that God will continue the work that He started in so many of you. And trust that our spiritual eyes are opened to the King that is real, that is here, that is coming back.